you, as you mentioned in the beginning of the segment, a lot of opponents or a lot of the company spokespersons will argue that these low-wage jobs are exclusively teens or exclusively you know, workers that are starting out or entry-level workers, and that provides a springboard for more opportunity. But the fact of the matter is these low-wage jobs are beginning to affect all Americans across the board. If they're not relying on low-wage jobs already, then their tax dollars are supporting low-wage companies. And so it's beginning to be a core, an aspect of the core of the American economy.
And finally, 5 seconds, the argument the companies make, they'll have to pick up the cost of the food, and that'll help, and that will particularly hurt poorer people.
Well, companies have a ton of resources. We're talking, again, about a multi-billion dollar industry here. There's just no reason to expect that companies can't afford higher wages.
Jack Temple, we want to thank you for being with us with the National Employment Law Project. We'll link to your report, Supersizing Public Costs. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felch, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, San Marco, Pani Masugrabi, Karen Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, I'm Amy Goodman, Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, this is Lee Allen. Hope you're listening to the station Making Waves, WHFR. I am.
This is WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. My name is Dennis Reimers. It is time for, well, let's do the date. Jay would do the date first, October 18th, 2013, for those of you listening on your podcast. I'm Dennis Reimers with the new WHFR Journal. Jay is taking a well-deserved day of rest, and in studio right now I have my good friend, our general manager, and one of the best instructors I've ever had in my many years of college, many, many, many years, Susan McGraw. Susan, we're going to check your mic right now.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you. I sure hope your mic was on with that fantastic introduction you just
gave. And I didn't
gave
even
me.
Have my fingers crossed.
Oh, my goodness. And right back at you, by the way, in terms of students.
You're just saying that because
right
it's true. And with us, hopefully for at least a few minutes, we have another good friend of mine, somebody that I got a chance to meet back when he started, and I interacted quite a bit with my job at the newspaper and here at the radio station. Mr. Chad Austin is HFCC's Career Services Officer, and we have a big event going on. I mean, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of cars out, there's a lot of people out there. What is all about? What's going on here on campus?
Thanks for having me. This is our second annual Career Expo. It's an event that we host yearly through the Career Services Office, primarily designed to help students, alumni, and the general public interact with hiring employers.
Okay.
Employers that are looking to hire our students.
What are some of the companies that are out here now?
You know, we've got a lot of great companies that are out here today. We have over 60 total that'll be here in both the morning and the afternoon session. The five principal sponsors, the ones I want to give a special shout out to, are going to be Reliance One, Bell Tire. You also have with us Marathon Petroleum Company. We also have Industrial Careers Pathway, which is a great organization designed to helping people getting involved with industrial careers. And then we also have the Eisenhower Center, which is a rehab facility that's been doing a lot of sponsorships with us over the years.
Okay. And I noticed also there's a presence from the Michigan State Police. I think there's an emergency response company or what have you out there, as well as military recruiters. So they're a huge variety.
A wide variety, yeah. We've tried really hard to make sure that we cover as many different areas as possible. Since we have over 200 programs here at HFCC, we have students that have a wide variety of interests. And when you have that, you want to make sure that the employers that are here recruiting reflect that. So we have a strong State of Michigan contingent. We have actually several different organizations within the State of Michigan. The biggest employer in the state is the state, so we try and make sure that they're here, and we have other great organizations that are looking to recruit.
Now, this is open to the public, so people that are listening right now, they have an opportunity. It's, I guess, there's a break right now.
We've tried to set it up a little bit differently this year. Last year, we did a 4 or 5 hour career expo all in one shot, and at the end, some of the employers were pretty exhausted. You know, they said, you know, I couldn't get away from my table. I had so many people talking to me, and they were pretty worn out. So this year we decided to break it up and still have a large chunk of time. So we did a morning session from 9 to noon, and we're having a two-hour break, and then we're right back at it at 2 o'clock, and we'll go to 5 o'clock. And hopefully some of the employers only committed to the morning session, some only committed to the afternoon. So, you know, even if you attended the morning session, there might be new people here in the afternoon that you can talk to. So it's a
grab
winning.
Grab something to eat, sure, and come back. Yeah. Now, what would you tell prospective applicants, what they should wear, maybe what they should bring with them?
Well, the one thing we try and stress is that this is a professional environment. You know, it's great if you just happen to come across a career expo and you want to walk in and check stuff out. But what we really encourage everyone to do, and actually what we're requiring, is that everyone is dressed professionally. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to wear a three-piece suit, that you have to look, you know, like you're ready to step out and be a member of the Secret Service or some other, you know, high professional power job, something like that. But we do expect that you have on a button-up shirt, that you're not wearing jeans, you're wearing khakis for the gentlemen. For the ladies, we want to make sure that you're wearing business-appropriate clothing that looks and gives you the impression of being someone who's serious about job search.
Now, is Secret Service really going to be here?
Secret Service has actually been a recruiter in the past. They are someone, you know, since we have such a great criminal justice program, they're actually an organization that's recruited in the past.
Really?
We don't have them here this year, but we have had the FBI here.
Well, they might be here.
We might not know.
He says they're not here.
So, yeah, well, the kicker is, you know, we had a Securitas agent walking through in a full suit, and he had the little earpiece in and the little microphone in his hand. It threw me off a little bit, but I actually thought we were having the Secret Service here. But, no, it's, you know, we have a lot of law enforcement agencies here. We have the Fort Lauderdale Police Department coming up from Fort Lauderdale down in Florida. You know, they have two alumni, I think, from HFCC and on their force, so they've, you know, come back up to recruit.
There's worse places you could work.
Absolutely.
In any job. You
absolutely.
Know? Lauderdale's nice. Let's go. You know what's interesting is on the subject of the FBI, I've had friends that were in the FBI and a couple that were actually in the Secret Service, and they protected my one friend. He was his duty was whenever visiting dignitaries came to the Detroit area, he was pretty much stationed here. So I think when the Pope visited, when Jesse Jackson would come in, or anybody would come into town, that was his assignment. And they say it sounds and seems a heck of a lot more glamorous than it really is.
Oh, I'm sure it's a lot of sitting around in a back room waiting for something to happen.
And the FBI was even, he said, you know, most of the people in the FBI, they were accountants or lawyers or whatever. Their degree was, the people he knew, there was very few people that actually were like, I'm going to get in the FBI for law enforcement. You know, there was always from different walks of life. And he said that was even more boring. You know, he said he thought a stakeout would be really cool. And I'm not trying to talk anybody away from any jobs or anything like that, but they do make things seem a lot better than they are. You know,
sure.
The only thing that's what it seems is like broadcasting is pretty darn cool. So.
It's actually cooler than it seems.
Absolutely.
Don't you agree?
I would have to say that.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree.
Especially when you work, and I get to work with a bunch of cool people here, a bunch of people that have, you know, Jay, each and every week, the man knows more than anybody I know. You know, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. And so, yeah, this has been a tremendous learning experience. Now, so it's until, what, 5 o'clock today?
2 to 5 today.
Just park on campus, and we're it's right here in our building in the main cafeteria. So.
Yeah, it's in the Culinary Arts Building on campus. That's all right. And we actually have a staff lot located adjacent that's been reserved for the general public today. But basically, if you come on campus and you look down, you'll see the chalking. We had a lot of student volunteers get here early today and take out some chalk and draw arrows and say Career Expo today and really try and promote it as well as we possibly can. We want to make sure that anyone that sees that information knows where to go and knows how to get here.
So it's very realistic for somebody to feel that they'll come here, resume in hand, and get at least a cursory interview.
Well, one of the biggest challenges, especially in today's job market with the advent of so much online job search and online job postings and uploading your resume is that lack of face-to-face contact. You don't have an opportunity very much anymore to walk up, look someone in the eye, shake their hand, and introduce yourself. And that sometimes is a way to distinguish yourself from someone else who might be interested in the same job.
Right.
You know, when you're just a file on a computer, it's easy to kind of ignore you. But when you walk up, you present a positive image, you engage with the employer, you talk with them about what you want out of a professional experience, it's very much more likely that they'll give you the time of day.
Okay. And part of your focus for your position at the college is, in fact, helping people, connecting them with employers after they've, well, in some cases, before they finish their schooling.
But, absolutely.
I mean, and I know many people that you've helped, so we appreciate the job you do here, Chad.
Well, thank you very much.
My understanding is you may bring some people back.
Sure.
If not you said the sponsors earlier, but we talked about actually having some of the kids, if they're interested.
Sure.
Maybe having a student, if you can identify somebody that's that you know that has some interest in this process, we'd love to get their perspective as well.
That'd be great. You know, we have some employers here that have expressed an interest in coming in and talking a little bit about why they came here today, and I think it's a win-win. You know, it's a great opportunity for the employers to get their name out there and what they're all about, but at the same time, you know, we love the fact that they're here recruiting our students, and they want to make connections with HFCC, and, you know, we work really hard to make sure that when students come here, they know that they have a realistic chance of getting a degree and getting a job. And as long as we're working towards that goal, you know, we will have as many employers on campus as want to come.
Awesome. So this is the second annual Career Expo. The public is welcome, it says right here, to bring multiple resumes. I like that. And to speak directly to recruiters. It's on the main campus here at the Student Center, and it'll be going on from 2 to 5 o'clock. Chad, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully we'll see you or some of the people in tow in a little while.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to get into some news right now, and hopefully Susan will come back and she'll join me. There's a really quite an interesting story that's been going on for quite a while, and I've read three different sources on this, and it all has to do with an email that was sent to retiring Dearborn Councilwoman Nancy Hubbard, and it was sent by a group called Let's Reclaim Dearborn, which it has come out that the founders of this particular group are in fact Dearborn residents, two Dearborn residents, Mark Lane and Ryan Woods. And again, they call it Let's Reclaim Dearborn. And this is a multifaceted story because other things have come out of it based on the initial email. So the email was sent, you know, Susan, I would love to tell you about this because you may not be aware. This is the situation. This is a new WHFR journal, Dennis Reimers and Susan McGraw. And we'll be your hosts until 2 p.m. today. There's a group called Let's Reclaim Dearborn. Two residents, Ryan Woods and Mark Lane. And they said that they had permission, or they had six candidates that retiring Dearborn Councilwoman Nancy Hubbard was endorsing. One of the articles I read was kind of weird because it said that they were actually endorsing these candidates and they wanted her approval. But from what I read, the most recent things that I read, basically they're saying these are the people that she's endorsing, and they sent this email. She had an issue with it because she felt that the names weren't accurate. In fact, she felt that, this came out publicly later after the meeting. This was during a city council meeting was when she wanted to raise the issue. And just to skip to that part of it, she said, no, those aren't the people. And two of the names, she never came out and said, not those two, but two of the names she kind of left off when she was talking about her particular endorsement. Okay. So she, just to make a long story short, she goes to this meeting, this city council meeting in Dearborn. The city's attorney, Deborah Walling, places an envelope on her desk because Nancy was late. She was actually late to the meeting. You have to let Chad in. Okay, that's okay. That's all right.
I've got to hear the rest of the
story.
Okay,
all right. Well, I will. I'll tell you. Yeah. Okay, well, so she goes into the meeting late. There's this envelope sitting on her desk. She starts to refute because they brought up this particular issue. Somehow it got brought up that she endorsed these people. And she said, no, those weren't the people I endorsed. Well, immediately the president of council, Tom Tafalsky, says, no, this is not the forum for that.
Right.
You do not endorse. We don't talk about that here. Oh, by the way, that thing you're reading, you got that. Another city employee, Deborah Walling, wrote that for you, and she did that on city time, and so he filed a complaint with the Ethics Commission. So this whole thing is all coming around now. So
yeah,
it's multi.
More to it, yeah.
There's a lot more to it. So as Jay would say, we will advance the story next time. But we do have somebody coming into studio right now from the career fair that's going on, the Career Expo that's going on right now, and I'm not positive if it's an applicant, a student that's applying for positions, or if it's somebody that is actually one of the people involved with doing the hiring. So we're going to find out in just a minute. And as I said, this is Dennis Reimers and Susan McGraw. We're fortunate to have Chad Austin here earlier, who, like I said, Chad has become such a good friend, and he does so much for the people that, you know, they go to college. Most of the people going here, I mean, I'm sure there's a few people that come to school that they just want to advance their learning in numerous areas. But most people come in with a focus. And I know that my wife and I, when we came back to school after 20 years away, it was with a focus of getting a job. And for to actually have a career expo right here on campus, right in the building, I can't say enough of how big a deal that is. So when people will come out here and when you're looking for that work, it's awful nice to have the people coming to you. So We're being joined in studio in just a minute. Okay, the door keeps opening and closing. I'm going to go down to another story here until it's decided what way we'll go. This is out of the Dearborn Press and Guide. I was actually off of the website. A form will help navigate new healthcare sites and rules. Hi, how are you? Oh, you're from Eisenhower. Excellent.
I'm from Eisenhower.
All right. You can just move right up there. And what's your name?
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Jessica Williams.
Jessica. And tell us what you do at Eisenhower.
I am the HR coordinator, so I work in the HR department. And I'm one of the main recruiters there, so I do a lot of the hiring process for all of our new employees.
I have to ask you, and this is the first and foremost on my mind. We have this particular expo here. It's our second one, and I was just talking about how great it is when you go to school. Some people don't go to school for a job. Some people just go, especially later in life, they want to learn more, whatever. And that's good. I think that's also a good thing to enrich yourself. But for the people like myself who, after 20 years away, lost his job, came back to school, my focus was on getting employment. And for you to come right here, I can't stress how cool that is. Why did Eisenhower pick HFCC? What do you feel you can get from the people that go to school here?
Great question. And I love the fact that you kind of pointed out people that are returning to school or the people that, again, with the economy and need to get a job. So we really feel that, again, we're based in Ann Arbor, but really being able to kind of go out into the community and really find the people that are very passionate. We're a healthcare facility. So really being able to come here and seeing people. We've been here twice now. And really being able to see that passion from the people that are either looking for a career change, and they're very eager to get out and help people because maybe that's one of their passions they wanted to do here, and we really see that here with the students here.
Okay, now, so if somebody's listening right now, and I'm sure there's at least two or three people listening. No,
exactly.
If somebody's listening right now, and they hear healthcare, and I mean, come on, it's still a hugely growing industry.
It is.
So, and it's expanding because of technology. If somebody hears that you're here, Eisenhower's here, you're recruiting, what would you say to that person? What do you need from them? And what is your candidate? What do you in your mind?
Right. Well, again, we're based in Ann Arbor, healthcare facility. So we're looking for somebody, again, entry level, really wanting to get that experience, really, you know, passionate about giving back to people. Dealing with our clients, they all have traumatic brain injuries. So these people were everyday people, just like you and I, and got into a catastrophic injury, got into an accident. So really being able to kind of step aside and say, you know what? I want to give back. I want to help this person. Everyday tasks, talking to that person, motivating that person, really being there to kind of be the smile, because the person's maybe having a bad day, and you're that person to say, hey, you know, today's a new day, so let's get on track and let's get to maybe a therapy session, let's go out into the community. So really looking for somebody, again, that's looking for some entry-level healthcare experience. I mean, all you need is minimum a high school diploma and being 18 years of age and have a valid driver's license.
Right.
Very minimum qualifications, and we'll give you all the training you need.
And then anything else they can get specifically at the college level, obviously that can help.
Definitely can help. Really being able, for people that are looking for maybe some nursing experience, maybe somebody that's looking to get into psychology, or maybe somebody that's looking to get into social work. So really being able to kind of get that experience of working with people that are in the industry.
And you know, Jessica, talking about starting at a company at an entry-level position is certainly, you know, there are a lot of places, I think the mindset these days is, well, I can't even get my foot in the door, so why bother, you know, going to these things? Well, 60 businesses out there, there's a need, certainly.
Yes.
And you're here because you have a need.
That is the need.
That helps us, too.
And we're looking for people, like you said, you mentioned before, you know, people that are looking for a career change. Mm-hmm. They maybe were working in automotive, you know, working here in Michigan. Maybe they were doing something, maybe in the food industry, and they're like, I want to do something different.
Okay.
I want to try something different in life. And that's why I said that's that entry level and really getting that experience.
Right.
And really moving up within the company.
And talking about moving up, how high up can you move?
how high up? I got a good story. Our VP of the company right now, part-time rehabilitation associate, was working like on the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, just in the afternoons. And now, look, VP of the company. So,
fantastic.
You know, at Eisenhower Center, we truly believe in grooming our staff and really being able to show that, you know, your time invested here is very, very, very fortunate here. And we really love the work that you're doing to do a lot of internal promotion. So really being able to say, you know what, I started entry level, but look, we have a VP that's now in a position.
That's great.
So you deal primarily with, you said, with traumatic?
Yes.
See, and to me, if I'm hearing that, it sounds extremely challenging right out of the gate. But if you do have a passion for that, I can't imagine too many things that would be more rewarding than working with people. I mean, these are people that really need to be worked with.
They do. Okay. They do. And like I said, we give you all the training. So even if you feel like, you know what, I've never worked in that industry before.
Right,
I've never worked with that type of clientele. It's okay. That's what we're here for. We give you that extensive training.
Yeah.
And we're going to work with you.
And you're exactly right, Dennis. It might be a job at first, but that's mixing a career and a passion together.
It is.
Not everybody gets to say that they do that in their lives, right?
Yes.
That's, I think, what makes it so rewarding, though. And you know what? And that's contagious, because if you're working in an environment like that, you know, you better get with it or you're not going to be there long. I know that the pressure that you can feel, it's not even from authority, it's from your peers. You know, that sometimes, no, that's a motivating thing. But you talked about the training that goes into it. What, is there a long process, or is it something that's almost like on the job as you're going along?
Yeah, so initially your first, you know, entry level, coming into the company for your training, everyone goes to the same training.
Okay.
So I even think that you're just coming into that entry level position or as a rehab staff. We call it rehabilitation associates. Everyone in the company gets the same training. So we believe in promoting our employees from within. We all get the same training, so we all can jump in because we are 100% employee owned.
All right.
So your training is going to be very hands-on. It is Monday through Friday your first week, but you're getting everything you need. And then when we send you on the unit that you'll be working with the clientele and staff, you're going to get that shadowing experience. So you're not going to just say, hey, you went through that week and we're going to just throw you in there. Nope, we're not going to do that at all. We're going to get you shadowing with some staff that are currently there and that have that, you know, rapport with the clients so that you can learn from them. And then even ongoing, you're asking questions and you're definitely going through the process, and we understand that you're going to need some help. Some people, again, in a month, they're like, I got this. Maybe it's 2 months or 3 months that you're still asking us questions, and we definitely want you to do that, because again, every client is going to be different and it's going to be challenges, but you're going to be able to get through it.
So Jessica, you'll be here till 5 o'clock?
Yeah, we'll be here till 5 o'clock.
Okay. Now, in the event that somebody, they're listening right now and they're like, oh, that sounds like a great opportunity, but I have to whatever until 5 and they can't make it, is there a way that they can contact you directly or go somewhere?
Yes. So you can visit our website at www.eisenhowercenter.com.
Okay.
All of our contact information is on the careers page. Again, my name is Jessica Williams, so even if you call up to Eisenhower Center, you can definitely get in contact with me if you have any further questions.
That is awesome, because obviously meeting you face-to-face today is a great opportunity for people. But we don't want people to feel like they're losing out if they have another obligation.
Yep, so they can definitely get in contact with us. Again, they can definitely reach out to us via website. Again, either emailing or contacting us via phone.
Jessica, thank you so much for taking the time here to discuss this.
I definitely enjoy it.
And for being a part of the expo.
So
the Career Expo doesn't make much sense without, you know, people like you here.
Yes,
so
yes,
we thank
definitely.
You on behalf of our
just
guests.
Have a bunch of people walking around, you know, with
we
papers
have,
in
we
their
have
hand.
That every other
yeah,
other
we have
week,
that all.
Right? we love talking to people, so come to our booth. Yeah, come talk to us.
Thanks so much, Jessica. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to finish this story as Susan walks Jessica out. This is all about the new Affordable Care Act. And I know in the community, I'm regularly out in the community. I did move out of the area, but I still work in Dearborn Heights, and I'm in Dearborn. And I'm at the Berwyn Center. That's where our TV studios are for WDHT, the cable TV station for the city of Dearborn Heights. And there's a lot of people there that have questions. And I just think it's so cool that this is put together. The Affordable Care Act, there is going to be, you can attend Understanding the Healthcare Marketplace and the Affordable Care Act. That'll be 6 p.m. this coming Wednesday in the Henry Ford Centennial Library Auditorium. It's free and it's open to the public. Community Bridges Management Incorporated, a company that's been helping the poor and uninsured help with health care for more than 10 years, received a grant to put on this event and others like it. So there's a lot of people that are guided through enrollment and understand the state's marketplace, a place to shop for insurance. According to the project administrator, Mr. Ibrahim Ahmed, he said, we need to show people how to navigate the marketplace where they can put their information in, tell them what to expect, how they can get tax credits, and how they can get copayment reduction, and how to get lower premiums. Basically, Susan, we were just talking about all the things that are going on with this Affordable Care Act and all the questions. They're actually putting something together at the Centennial Library. They're going to answer everything. Do we have somebody? Somebody else is coming in? This is cool. All right. I just want to explain what's going on. It may seem a little haphazard here, but with the Career Expo going on literally just outside of our we call it the glass bowl or the aquarium, looking outside of our window here in the main part of the cafeteria, they have it all set up with the career, all the different companies for the Career Expo. So we just think it's a good idea if we can grab a couple people, talk to them, find out why they're doing this. I mean, this is a really golden opportunity for us, not only at the college, the students and the people at the college, but also as a radio station. We can kind of, this is why we're here, is to broadcast events like this. This is free. This is an opportunity to meet hiring people, hiring managers. You can apply for a job, resume in hand, and actually have at least a cursory interview on the spot. So this is a really, really good opportunity. It's from 2 to 5. It's right here in the building. The people, as they walk by, they can look in and see us here on the radio. So this is a really good opportunity for anybody. If you're not looking for work right now, it's still a good opportunity. My father used to say, somebody who I just a tremendous amount of respect for my father, and he used to say the best time to look for a job is when you don't need one. And basically what he was saying is you have to plan. You never know what's going to happen. When the economy went south in 2008, my wife and I both lost our jobs. We came back to school. We did it differently this time than we did the 20 years prior. We did what we wanted to do. We went to school and took classes in areas not what was expected or not what somebody else told us we'd be good at, but exactly what we wanted to do. I work at a TV station now, and I'm thrilled, and I still get to be on the radio, and my wife is doing her thing in theater and a little bit in healthcare. So we took everything that we learned and we applied it. But there wasn't a career fair like this. I can't even imagine how much more quickly you can be on the fast track of employment, especially considering, you know, it's right here in the college and they're looking for college students. They're right here. So come on out. It's from 2 to 5 o'clock, and, you know, wave when you go by. You can go by the window in the radio station and wave to us. All right, so back to this form, this healthcare thing. This is going on 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Because enrollment started. Healthcare.gov, they began accepting enrollment on October 1st. So that's where this is all coming. All the questions are coming because people need to know now. So if you have questions on that, Henry Ford Centennial Library is on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. For more information, you can call the library at 313-943-2330 or Community Bridges, which is the organizer, at 1-888-388-2353. That's 1-888-388-2353. And we are joined in studio. Susan's back with another guest of ours. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell me a little bit about who you are and who you're with.
Well, my name is Angela Shelby, and I'm the statewide recruitment coordinator for the state of Michigan. I work specifically with the Michigan Civil Service Commission because we're like the gatekeeper for all of human resources in state government.
No kidding.
No kidding.
So why HFCC? What was the big draw to this school?
We are here because you're in a densely populated area. Section of the state, and we need folks to know that state government is the largest employer in the state of Michigan. We have almost 50,000 employees in our workforce, and almost 15% of them became eligible to retire on October the 1st.
Oh my.
So we are on the heels of having 4,717 employees retire within 90 days just 3 years ago. So we've been in somewhat of a hiring surge for 3 years now. And we may be on the brink of another mass exodus here within the next 60 to 90 days.
No kidding. Okay.
Yes.
So what would be, like, for the people that are here on campus or that would come out to this particular expo, what are some of the jobs that you may be looking to fill that they would be qualified to do?
Well, we have a critical need for Michigan State police troopers.
No kidding.
Which requires a high school diploma. There aren't specific college credits that are required, but there are other requirements associated with that field, of course, that state police troopers will be able to talk with the students about. We have a critical need for corrections officers in the Department of Corrections, and that requires a minimum of 15 college credits in some specific courses, or 30 credits in any course. And if they have an associate or a bachelor degree, then they're going to be eligible for that corrections officer position. We have several hundred positions we're going to be filling over the next year.
Wow.
We have a new academy starting in January for those classes. There's an exam that's required for both the corrections officer and the state police trooper. There are no waivers associated with the state trooper job, but there are requirements for an exam with the corrections officer.
Okay. Angela, what's wild is I'm a little older than the 18 or 20 year old students here.
As am I.
Yeah. Well, and so we've had our share of and Susan as well. We've had our share of career expos, either partaking in them or helping organize them or whatever. And so often, and I think I hope you'll agree with me. So often you feel like when you go there and the company's there just kind of as they have to be. You know, they may not be.
But it seems
it's so different here. I mean, you're really hiring.
Oh, we are hiring.
You're looking to fill positions within 3 months. Like, they need to be filled.
Yes, we have positions to fill. We are averaging over 100 job postings per day and have since the 4,700 retired. And I'm somewhat concerned that that will skyrocket over the next few months if, you know, the majority who can leave actually do. So we had the corrections officers positions we need to fill, the state police troopers. We also have a critical need for IT.
Okay.
We're also recruiting for conservation officers.
Okay.
So we have representatives here today from the state police, from the Department of Corrections, from the Department of Natural Resources Law Enforcement Division, and from the Department of Transportation.
Now you have my attention. So we moved out to South Lyon, my wife and I, and we're right by Island Lake.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, man, I wonder what it'd be like to work here. We would go through.
Yes.
You probably.
Right. Through the Michigan Civil Service Commission.
That is
handle
neat.
All of that recruitment and selection, management of that process. All jobs in state government are posted on the Civil Service website at michigan.gov/statejobs.
Okay.
So all the job postings from all 18 departments of state government are on our website. Anyone interested in applying for a job simply fills out an electronic application or a profile. And that electronic document is used to apply for our jobs.
And do they have to be very specific? And can you apply for more than one job?
You can apply for as many jobs as you want.
Okay.
My suggestion with, I won't date myself, but let's just say I'll be conservative and say I have over 20 years in human resources, always in state government. Your electronic application is going to be what you're using to apply for our job. You can attach a resume to it, and that resume is in my personal opinion, the resume is what sells you.
Sure.
That's what you're presenting as the type of employee you're going to be, what work product you're going to develop for us. And if you're going to apply for multiple jobs, my suggestion on my HR experience is you should tailor every application and resume to the job you're applying for. If you have one standard document, it's convenient for you, but it's to your advantage to be a bit more zealous in tailoring them to the specific job you're applying for.
That makes a lot of sense. So I'm thinking in mind, just to even differentiate myself even further, maybe a picture of me by the pool with a cocktail and an umbrella in it. Yeah, Susan?
Uh-huh. That's exactly what we want you to present, Dennis. Because we don't want to lose him here at the radio station, and we know that nobody
first
would take him if he does that. So not teasing.
I just keep thinking of Legally Blonde when she did their application for Harvard.
Angela, we have a couple of people that are, you sort of serve as the umbrella to, obviously multiple layers of different recruitment areas.
That is correct.
As you indicated in your introduction. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple of people coming in shortly to talk about some very specific components, and I know you alluded to that, but
yes.
what are we going to hear about just a minute. I'm going to go get those, those people.
Excellent. Thank you, Susan.
From our Department of Corrections, we have a sergeant who will talk about jobs in the Department of Corrections. Her primary objective is to recruit for corrections officers. After that would be parole probation officers, and then any other occupation within a Department of Corrections. I think when people think about Department of Corrections, they're envisioning the prison.
Absolutely.
And that's very logical.
Sure.
In reality, there's a lot more to the department than just a prison. There's more to it than custody. And there are jobs in accounting.
Administrative alone seems like it would be huge.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, I mean, everybody that comes into the Department of Corrections has to be, everything's well documented, I would imagine.
Oh, very much so.
So that would be, yeah.
So there are medical records.
Yeah.
There are office, there are administrative support jobs, there are business administrative, and the security function. That's what dominates the department, but it is best not to have that tunnel vision and think of corrections as only someone who works in custody.
You know, you brought up something interesting earlier, and while we're waiting for Susan to come in, my wife and I love being outdoors. We love nature. We've taken a lot of biology classes as part of our general, core classes to get through to get our degree. But my degree is one thing. My wife does something else.
Uh-huh.
How would you, and I think in our situation, a little bit older and having maybe not as much schooling as in the area of what we want to do, but a lot of experience, do you think that we could tailor our, like, is there an opportunity to say, okay, my resume kind of looks like I've been doing this, broadcasting and writing and reading and all those different things, but I want to do this, and my experiences, can I differentiate myself that way?
You want to identify what we refer to in the HR world as transferable skills?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I was struggling with this, and you know exactly what I mean.
That is it. So you're tailoring yourself to the job that you're applying for.
Absolutely.
So specify what college credits you may have that are relevant to that job and what experience you have. Before it slips my mind, let me also say that with me today is Bruce Freimark from our Wounded Veterans Internship Program with the Michigan Department of Transportation. And he is going to be able to share some information about that program and when it began and what success rate they have in recruiting military veterans to work within the Department of Transportation.
That's awesome. Bruce, welcome. Thank you. My name is Dennis. This is the new WHFR Journal, and just for the record, I will say all the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at the college. We are allowed to say what we want in good taste, and we're very grateful for that. Sometimes what we're talking about here is opinions. That's why I wanted the disclaimer. This is the new WHFR Journal, and we're talking to people. There's actually a career expo going on right outside of our window here. It's kind of neat. And we've snagged a few people to come in and talk about why they're here and why HFCC. What does this school and this community have to offer you? Because you're not here to waste your time, obviously.
We have jobs to fill.
And I love that. Angela, just a few minutes ago, you said hundreds of jobs to fill, and some of those within the next 30, 60, 90 days.
Yes.
That's reality.
Yes, it is.
Sorry. It's a lot different than it was even a few years ago, so I'm really grateful. And mm-hmm. you said you've been on an upswing for the last 3 years, correct?
Yes, we have.
Bruce, tell us a little bit about what you do and what this... I'm getting my reading glasses on here.
Sure.
The Wounded Veterans Program Coordinator. Tell us about the program, please.
So the program started about a year ago, and the purpose of the program is to provide veterans who have a 10% or more service-connected disability with the opportunity to translate their military background into a civilian career. Some of the surprises we found over time is that 60 to 70% of these vets, because they have great educational benefits, are either in school for their bachelor's degree or have their bachelor's degree. So we have positions around the state of Michigan where I can place vets. Over the last year, we've placed approximately 15 vets in the program. It's not like I have 100 jobs or something.
Sure,
but
sure.
But those 15 vets, we've got 7 that are working right now. As a vet leaves the program, we put another person on.
So they may otherwise be unemployed is what you're thinking.
Typically they are.
If not for this program. So what are the jobs? What kind of jobs do you put
on? I have people in positions such as a front desk person. Mm-hmm. There's a person doing data analysis with soil density testing. People think that the Department of Transportation builds roads. Typically, we contract that out, but we have all the back room stuff that has to go on. I've even had 2 people that got out of school with bachelor's degrees in civil engineering and couldn't find work. So they came to work for us, and one has found a permanent job with the Department of Transportation. The other one just started. So we have all the way from, depending on what a disability might be,
sure.
Most of it happens to be backs and knees mm-hmm. Because of what they're carrying on their backs.
Sure.
But they will qualify for programs. We have a number of different types of jobs that are available for them and around the state.
Let me just answer one of my questions. You said a 10% military or veteran-related disability?
Service-connected disability.
Service-connected, 10%. Thank you. 10%. So that's a kind of a...
It's a low threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also tough. I mean, is that line, can it be drawn?
It can be.
Okay.
The VA will give a determination of disability.
Okay.
And so that's what I use. I use that determination of disability. I don't have to know what the disability is. I just need to know what the percentage is.
So what would be the process? If somebody, this program, it sounds like somebody may be qualified. How would they go about doing this?
All they need to do is simply send a resume to me, and that gets the conversation going. I have a email address.
Please, please.
They can send it to, if I can read this properly.
You want me to?
Can you
do it?
Yeah, sure.
Angela's going to grab it here.
The MDOT part.
The email address is MDOT, Wounded Veteran Program, @michigan.gov.
Okay, cool.
And actually, if you just Google Wounded Veteran
mm-hmm.
and MDOT,
it'll pop up.
Is this program in other states as well?
It's being done in Virginia so far, and I would really like to see it go across the country.
And you said you've been doing this about a year?
About a year.
So the model is still probably going through an evolution.
We've learned a lot. When I first started this, I thought I was just simply going to help a vet get off the street.
Yeah.
And we found out then that, as I said, 60 to 70% are in school for their bachelor's degree or have it. So we had to recalculate and say, wait, we've got a different skill level here than what we thought we did.
Right, right.
And come up with different types of jobs and different entry points. And that's been a real eye-opener for us.
You know, for me, and it's not, I love our military. I love feeling safe. I love all the things. I mean, there's nothing I don't love or respect about the military. It's just there was never anybody in my family that was involved in any wars or anything like that. So it was something that was kind of like peripheral. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, I love it. At the same time, I couldn't relate necessarily. Well, that's all changed. My son, on November 8th, will graduate from Marine boot camp. And we didn't even know he wanted to be a Marine. And then we found out about 6 months ago, and he's on the fast track. He's going to come back, finish college on the government's dime, and then go in as an actual officer. So we're thrilled. But now I hear about these programs, and obviously I don't wish my son to be in a situation where he'd need it, but how cool that they exist. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Bruce, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
It's my pleasure.
We have somebody else in the room. Hi. What's
Hello.
Your name?
My name is Sergeant Stork.
Yeah, let's get this on. Go ahead.
And I work for the Michigan Department of Corrections.
All right. All right. Well, we've never met. We probably never will outside of the... I'm just kidding. All right. As Angela was just saying, we think of Department of Corrections, well, you're a probation officer or you're a guard or something, but there's so much to that, isn't there?
So absolutely.
What are some of the jobs?
Well, I'm the arsenal sergeant at our facility, but once you get in as an officer, that you can be a master firearms trainer. They have numerous positions. They coordinate programs for prisoners, as well as MPRI, which helps prisoners coordinate from going into prison to going back out into the civilian world and adjusting and making the right decisions. There's also a lot of drug and alcohol programs within the prison, and a lot of corrections officers have started to teach those programs as well.
No, was that out of a cost-cutting move, or were they it just made sense because they were qualified?
It's probably a little bit of both. Yeah. I really don't deal with that aspect of it too much. But a lot of our staff have such a diverse background. Some of them come right out of college. Some of them come out of the military. I'm a military veteran, which we also encourage the veterans to apply. Some of them have former law enforcement backgrounds. So everybody brings a little bit of something to the Department of Corrections.
Well, and it's cool because we are broadcasting this out to the community, and there will be people, because once they know it's open to the public, they'll come to the expo regardless of their situation. But I think initially you got a lot of people that were on campus. So you got these young people. Are you looking for people necessarily at that age? Are there entry-level positions for somebody that's graduating from a community college?
Yes. For the Department of Corrections, all you need is 15 credit hours in law enforcement or criminal justice. Or if you weren't even looking at that field, if you have 30 semester hours in any other field, you're eligible to apply.
So for any other field?
Yes. It's,
okay.
Yes.
Which goes back to, we were talking earlier about like the FBI and some of the jobs in Secret Service, how a lot of them, their background has nothing to do with law enforcement initially. So, but I imagine once you get into a job like that, if it's something you're going to stay, you'll know pretty quickly.
Yeah, you have to learn to adjust pretty quick. Your first day, I think everybody will say it's very intimidating, but you have to be able to adjust very quickly. And this type of job is a very people-orientated job. You're not going to be out there wrestling every day. It's very people-orientated. Your people skills are what's going to get you through every single day.
What did you say? You're not going to be out there
wrestling.
Right.
Everybody it's not a thinks takedown in a room rush every day.
Oh, well.
That's what a lot of people assume it is, but it's more people skills.
Gosh, I went for the exact opposite. That's why when you said that, I'm like, wait, did she just say wrestling? Now, that said, if somebody wants to be wrestling every day, I'm sure they could be accommodated, right? There's always that
point. Outside the fence.
So what was the job that you had? You left the military and you came aboard. What did you take? What was your first job within the organization?
I was a corrections officer, and then I became promoted to a sergeant, and I recently became the arsenal sergeant a couple months ago.
What is the arsenal sergeant?
I'm in charge of our weapons, tasers. We have chemical agents,
somebody
radios.
We should get to know. That's funny. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things. But if somebody just says, you know what, I want a job, I'm really good at, I'm organized and I'm a good manager, there's administrative jobs. Not everybody's on the front line when it comes to the corrections department, correct? I mean, people can have jobs where it's very sedate and maybe they're even left alone.
It does help to start off as a corrections officer so you know what the organization it exists, it starts with, then you can work your way up from there. It's the type of job that some people go in, they're happy being a corrections officer, which is fine, but there's so much more to do in there. Then once you get in and you start to develop yourself as a person in that profession, then you can grow if you would like to.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much. All of you, thank you for spending your time with us. I learned a lot, and I'm sure that the listeners did too. So thank you. I'm going to go to a quick... Oh, I'm sorry, Angela?
Can I make one more comment?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. Civil Service Commission, we have Career Services Office. We have offices in Lansing and Detroit, and we will review resumes to identify what everyone is eligible for based on their individual education and experience. We find... folks look at our job postings and they're not certain what they're eligible for, or they're not certain what a specific job title is even about. So we will demystify that process by looking at the resume, and by what we know about our classification system, we can identify all of the jobs and classifications and levels and number, letter combinations, all of that. We will give everyone a written list of what they're eligible to apply for.
So that's, thank you. I'm glad you did add that. Mm-hmm. So somebody, to if I understand this correctly, somebody says, you know what, I want a job.
Right.
The state's hiring.
Yes.
It sounds interesting, but I don't know exactly what I qualify for or exactly what my interest would be because it's kind of new to me. Well, you'll help in that area.
Yes, we will.
So you won't look at the applicant and say, well, no, you know, your whole background is this and bowling, and yet you want to be
right.
a whatever.
We have jobs that...
Bowling? I don't know where that came from. Sorry.
We have a few jobs that do not require any specific education or experience at all.
Okay.
We have a few dozen jobs that require... saying it a few dozen makes it sound so small, but... I assure you it isn't. Okay,
yeah.
All right, good. That require a high school diploma or GED, and then other jobs require a bachelor degree or a master, doctorate, or whatever. But I'm saying there are many, many jobs in our workforce that do not require the bachelor degree.
Okay.
So I wouldn't want people to be discouraged because they don't have their bachelor degree yet. We have an internship program. We can place interns in addition to what Bruce has specifically for veterans. Our internship program has grown leaps and bounds the last few years. We have job internships that are unpaid, and we have student assistant positions that are paid throughout all of our departments. So there are a lot of things happening in state government, and we're growing and providing higher quality of service to the citizens of Michigan.
That is awesome. That is, and once you're actually working with the state, if that's who's
yes.
writing your paycheck, do you think it's any easier if you want to try something else, or you get your bachelor's degree and you want to make a move? Do you think it would be easier once you're already working with the
yes,
state?
Yes, it is.
I would think
it's
so.
It's not
too.
To say you have to work for the state already to be
no.
hired in a bachelor's degree position, but certainly,
it always seems
as
like
with
it.
Any organization,
sure.
even in the private sector, you begin to work for that organization, your work ethics, your work product, your work habits, and what you have to offer, what value you bring to the table becomes known in the organization. It's
okay.
just part of that basic networking.
Sure.
And I think it's advantageous. It's simply not mandatory.
Right, right. Before we close, anything for somebody with a bowling background?
Well, no? Possibly a recreational therapist.
Okay. Thank you, Angela. Thank you
Certainly.
Guys so much. I'm going to go to a quick non-commercial break as we take it'll be about a minute and a half here, so please stay tuned.
This is Gold Mike Holloway inviting all of you loyal listeners to shake that thing with those rockin' blues on the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show every Tuesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Yeah!
Ow! Shake it, baby, I know you could. I love the way you shake it. I love the way you shake it. I love the way you shake it.
WebAdvisor, a program allowing students and staff access to college-related information. Through WebAdvisor, you are able to register for classes, view grades, track financial aid, print class schedules, and much more. Log into WebAdvisor by going to my.hfcc.edu/webadvisor or from the homepage, hfcc.edu.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans' hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
This is the new WHFR Journal. My name is Dennis Reimars, and I am sitting in. Well, I had Susan McGraw here for a little bit. Jay Kornick is taking a much-needed day of rest, and I hope he does deserve it, and I hope it's he gets the rest he needs. I'm going to read something here. We have just about 10 minutes left in the show. I know that Joanne will not be here for Highway 61 at 2 o'clock. She will have in her place two people will be sitting in, one person from 2 to 4 and another person from 4 to 6. Joanne will not be here, so we will get that going right at promptly at 2. But in the meantime, I know this is something. What's interesting, I've been doing this show with Jay for about 4 years. That's when I first came to the station. I came to the school, and it took me a couple semesters before I got up the whatever to get over to the station. And even though this is something that 20 years ago when I went to college the first time around, it's something I very much wanted to do. So this time around, I get to do it. And I'm, you know, obviously I'm extremely grateful. So I've been doing these shows with Jay for this long, and he can carry the show completely by himself. In fact, he has. Jay, I can't make it today because of whatever. Oh, I got it. And I've learned so much from him, and I do know that there are certain situations or certain ideas that he has. And this, I'm reading something from the Times Digest dated Monday, October 14th, and this is something that I know that he would have wanted to get to. I don't necessarily agree with it, and I'll tell you why after I get through it. I'm going to read some of it just verbatim. It's it says, in this bankrupt city where, meaning Detroit, in this bankrupt city where keeping the streetlights on has proved a struggle, one industry has continued humming along at a multi-billion dollar clip, professional sports. The Tigers, who are playing in the American League Champions Series, have one of the highest payrolls in baseball at $148 million. Their star first baseman makes $23 million a year. And in a city that is contracting, the Tigers are expanding. Their payroll is up 38% from 2011. The Pistons spent about $80 million to sign two second-tier guards of the summer. The Lions quarterback signed a three-year extension in July worth $53 million. And the pizza entrepreneur who owns the Tigers and the Red Wings plans to build an arena as part of a downtown development project partly supported by $285 million in public money. Detroit sports teams operate in a different economy than does the rest of the city. Because of billionaire owners, lucrative television deals, dedicated fans, and public subsidies, the teams have few of the problems that have dragged their hometown into the largest municipal bankruptcy filing in the nation's history. But that does not mean that the yawning gap between the team's star-studded locker rooms and the city's boarded-up neighborhoods has no sting. A Lions defensive lineman has shrugged off more than $342,000 in fines and missed game penalties, enough to pay the salaries of 10 rookie police officers. This is a quote from Amazie Griffin of Vendor at Comerica Park. There's a lot of disposable cash around, but it's not intended for the right things or the right people. Amazie Griffin said, we need jobs for the city people, for the black folks. Griffin, 79, who calls himself a real Detroiter, is hardly the only one to notice the dissonance of pro sports in Detroit these days. Jim Leland, the Tigers manager, was asked about earning $2 million a year in a city where the poverty rate tops 40%. He said, I know how hard these people work, and it's a tough thing. Leland cited his team's generosity, pointing to the $1 million his ace pitcher, Justin Verlander, recently committed to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans returning to Detroit and his home state, Virginia. Verlander signed a 7-year, $180 million contract in March. He said, Leland said, the players are very conscientious about that type of thing, and we try to be very, very good about it, but it doesn't heal all the wounds. The article goes on to say, at a time when there is no such thing as a spare dollar in Detroit, some people here are especially troubled by proposals to use public money for professional sports. A $650 million downtown development project financed apart with public money would include an arena for the Red Wings as the centerpiece. The project would create 8,300 jobs, said John Hahn, a spokesman for Olympia Development, which is owned by Mike Ilitch, the owner of the Tigers and the Red Wings and the founder of Little Caesars Pizza. Kevin Boyle, a native of Detroit who has written about the city and now teaches history at Northwestern University, said he saw no wisdom in the government's contribution to new stadiums as cities fall into disrepair. Quote, it's really troubling to me to see that much public money going to build a new stadium when there's a catastrophe in the neighborhoods. That was Kevin Boyle. This was written by Joe Drape, and that was in the Times Digest. I read that because, like I said, Jay, over the time, it's not. I don't think he has nothing against athletics in general. I think he understands that there is a lot of they do offer positives as far as sportsmanship and coordinating in a team environment and things like that. But he has always said that he feels that they're disproportionately paid, and I always say, well, yeah, but we watch television and we see movies as well, and one could argue that those movie stars and television stars are disproportionately paid as well. And they're all in the same business, entertainment. Sports, at the end of the day, is an entertainment business. So I'm not saying that it's necessarily right that because it is disproportionate. At the same time, something I learned a long time ago is something is worth what the market will bear. If somebody is willing to pay somebody $1 million for doing whatever, picking up garbage, whatever, litter on the streets, if that's what they're willing to pay, then that's what the market is. I mean, it's not necessarily even or balanced, but if you can get the money, most people would take it. So when you approach an athlete and say, well, you know what, you're making too much money and you're having too much fun, think about the logic. From the point of view of the person saying that, maybe they're a little bit jealous. Maybe they're looking at the situation and saying, well, you know what? It doesn't make sense that you get to do what you want to do and make so much money, whereas I don't really like my job and don't get paid that much either. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And at the end of the day, I do think that the athletes, do they earn it? I don't even think that's the question. I think that when you look at watch the game last night, the Tigers were in a baseball game at Comerica Park against the Boston Red Sox, and the place was packed. And I know for a fact the tickets for playoffs are much higher than the standard regular season prices. So what does that tell you? These people, they may, on one side of their face, they're saying, you know what, you athletes make too much money, you don't deserve it. That money could go to paying for cops, or could be going to pay a lot of different things. At the same time, from the other side of their face, they're saying, go Tigers, and they're, give me another pizza and a hot dog. So basically, I'm not saying that's hypocrisy. I do think, though, that we enjoy something to the degree that it doesn't affect us. So there you have it. It is getting very, very close. We have about 4 minutes left. And then, like I said, Joanne will not be here today, but we will go into, I see that. Okay, I have a new outro for the journal, and I'm not used to that. So I will play that in just a few minutes while the next DJ comes here and sets up. Hey, how are you? Good, good. And this is, hold on 1 second here. I'm looking at my information. Anthony Glaze, come on in. I'm going to play the theme in just a second. It's WHFR Dearborn. That's about all the time we have today for the new WHFR Journal. I said last week that Jay would be back. I hope he is back next week. But like I said, he's getting some rest that he definitely deserves. So, Jay, if you're listening, thank you for all you've done, and just get the rest you need. I want to thank Susan McGraw. She helped so much today. She's ushering people in and out, and it kind of seemed almost chaotic a little bit, Anthony. But it's, you know what organized chaos is?
Yeah.
It's that stuff's going on, but you know where the room's a mess, but you know where everything is. That's kind of how it was. And I also want to thank Chad Austin. Chad, he is he's got a new title now, and I got to make sure that I say it right. He is the career services officer here at Henry Ford Community College, and I got to tell you, if you get a chance to meet him, you take it, please. He's a great guy, and he's very, very good at what he does, and we're thankful. And I'd like to thank the guests, all that came in today from the different participants of the Career Expo that's going on. It is going on. It starts again in a few minutes until 5 p.m. Dress appropriately. Wear something nice. Throw on a tie, guys. It's not going to kill you, all right? Put it on, and when you leave the building, you can take it off. Wear a jacket if you can, or at least just a button-up shirt and a tie and some nice khakis. Bring a resume. If you don't have a resume, have a very good reason. And tell them, look, the people that you're talking to, this is what I want to do, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to meet at another time. This kind of caught me off guard, whatever. But they are here to hire, so keep that in mind. I'm going to go to our new theme now that says, I just have to, it's called the Journal Outro. And this is new to me, so I'm going to play that right now. And again, have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.
Welcome to the Drop Top.
Get over here!
Now for a taste of things to come.
What's going on, everybody? This is a special edition of the Drop Top here on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the only radio station that is making waves. And as always there, ladies and gentlemen, I am your multi-talented, craziest host there is, Madman Glaze, coming at you live from 89.3 WHFR.FM. And as those of you who are normally used to the blues show that we have here, Miss Joanne apparently is just a little bit under the scorch of weather today, people. So, you know what? You're going to have me today. That's right. You got me. And as always, we're going to go ahead and have a little bit of crazy mad fun here on the Drop Top. Like I said, I am your host, Madman Glaze, and I hope you guys are having a great day out there, because I'm having a great time as always. Because, you know, if you guys were tuning into the last show that was on the air, I may have mentioned the fact that we have a career expo that is going on. Let me see, looking at the clock. Yes, it's going on right now, in fact. It's going on today from 2 to 5, and that's here on the main campus here at Henry Ford Community College. So you guys, I know.